Hello and welcome to PokeSports, a competitive Pokemon podcast. I'm Mike and I play with Pokemon on the field.
I'm Kevin. I always drop my Joy-Cons.
Yeah, you do. People are getting livid. They're so mad that you keep dropping those Joy-Cons. And I think they're particularly mad because they work still.
Because I bought them like less than a year ago. That's why.
Yeah, but you drop them enough that it's like, okay, something's going to give inside there sometime.
Carpeted floor. They just carpeted hit the carpet.
See, they don't know. They don't know about your carpeted floor. Exactly.
Mm.
Do you have one of those, now that you're standing, Kevin, always, do you have one of those like standing mats underneath?
Standing mats?
Oh, yeah. For standing desks, it's a huge thing that like you're not supposed to be like on your feet that long.
Is that why my back hurts right now? Is that why my arm is on my desk?
Is this why my arm is all floppy? Like, yeah.
I do have like a seating mat. Hold on.
A seating mat?
I have like one of these.
Oh, okay.
It's like a footrest that you could just put your feet on.
Well, I'll tell you. I actually have a standing mat of my own. And it looks... Oh, no. I dropped everything. It's fine. It's like big.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it elevates you a little bit. It gives a little cushion under your feet.
You put your chair under that and it doesn't ruin it? Okay, so you just have to move your chair out, put that under, and then that's what you do?
Yeah, I push my chair back. I bring the standing mat out a little bit. It's good.
That's a lot of moving parts. I do stand on slippers, though, so I guess that's okay. So I do got cushions somewhere.
I mean, yeah, you're on cushions all day then.
Yes.
Kevin and his slippers.
Kevin and his cushions. I showed you way too many cushions. Yeah, everyone is saying Kevin get wrist straps. What do I look like to you? A loser? I'm not going to use wrist straps. Like, you're kind of losing.
Kevin will
wrist
not
straps.
Be using wrist straps for his Joy-Cons. I can tell you one thing. Kevin is too Jersey for Joy-Cons. Did you know people from Jersey, they do not wear wrist straps.
There's if you're from Jersey, around these wrists.
If you're from New Jersey and you wear wrist straps, comment down below. I bet there won't be a single one.
Not a single person. Nope. Impossible.
Nope. Because they're outing themselves as being the wrist strap havers.
And even if you're from Jersey and you use wrist straps, you'll never admit it.
Yeah. We've discovered on this podcast that wrist straps is a very hard thing to say.
Wrist strap.
Welcome to PokeSports. This is a fun one because Pokemon has announced a mistake. And we're going to talk about that today, and I'm so excited to do that. But before that, I wanted to go and mention, I hope it works. Wait. No.
Soundboard?
Soundboard doesn't
work. Soundboard broken.
That's fine. You know what? We're gonna go ahead and put the music in on top of this. You know the one, the doom-doom-doom-doom-doom-doom. That one. That's going to be happening here. I'm giving myself a little bit of editing work.
You're trusting future Mike a lot right now.
I'm trusting me a lot. And you know what? I do. I do trust myself a lot. Anyway, there are a couple places that you can go and subscribe to in 2024. We have finally figured our stuff out. And we have all of our tiers properly set, I would think. So first place is over on Patreon, patreon.com/PokeSports. It helps us out immensely. And there's actually a lot more content there than you normally see on this podcast alone or on the YouTube channel alone. On the Patreon, not only will you get the Preach, which is our extended version of this podcast, the first 15 to 20 minutes of us getting ready to start this whole Pokemon thing. But you'll also get our, I guess it's called a Road to Ranked kind of series.
Yeah, I'd call it that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Aaron.
Basically. where we go and take a full clean cartridge, one that hasn't been tainted with all of the efforts that we have in our main lives putting stuff on the YouTube channel.
No Magmortar teams on that one.
No Magmortar teams on that one. And we go and try and climb the ladder with high meta teams, with teams that we are really passionate about, teams that we try really hard with in our own time. So you can go and check that out.
We will use Incineroar there, yes.
Yes. So you get extended podcasts, you get extra videos over on the Patreon. Now, if you're on YouTube, if you're more of a YouTube person, you can join the member tab. And in the member tab, there are a couple different tiers. There's the $2.99 US tier where you can get all of your emotes. And those can go on the comment section, or if we stream on YouTube, then you can go and use them there.
Second tier, you also get the Preach. It's essentially the same thing as the Patreon. You get the Preach, and you also get early YouTube videos.
Yes, early YouTube videos. YouTube just enabled this for people, so we're really taking advantage of that to show you guys some early content. And then for the upper tier, you will also get the same videos that go up on Patreon. And those ones are the Road to Ranked ones that we just talked about. So you might enjoy that over on YouTube.
Hey.
Go and subscribe if you like. Yes. Okay, we're back. So
that's a lot of words.
That's a lot
of
words.
Mike just spoke more than he did all day right now.
It's so true. Honestly, I have not spoken this much in a whole week. Pokemon went and made a mistake.
Yeah, and admitted it.
And they admitted it. Wasn't
they
that
don't usually do that. They usually just say, hey, we'll just give Ndidi Trick Room now. But no, they admitted to a mistake.
I do love whenever they post things like that on Twitter or on X. Because like that's, you know, saying that that is where they post all of their news, and that's them admitting that like that is the best place to go and post all your news, which is kind of true, I guess. But they do post it on all of their other socials as well. They say, attention Pokemon VG trainers, much like any of the announcers at like a regional or a national, attention
video game trainers. Is it the same guy or are they all just coached to do that?
I thought you meant, is that the same guy who wrote this?
It might be.
Maybe that's what they were saying. No, it's like in the anime where the announcer like looks the same, sounds the same, is essentially the same guy, but like you ask him his name and it's always a different name.
Maybe if I watched the anime, I'd know that.
Yeah, that's fair.
I should.
The move Dragon Cheer is temporarily banned from championship events due to the move not functioning as intended and will remain so until the issue is resolved. Now, for those of you who don't remember what Dragon Cheer is or haven't really been exposed to it, I don't blame you because honestly, it hasn't been used very much in the meta. Probably will now.
Oh, yeah, because the thing is they changed this for online competition, but they did not change it for online competition.
Yeah, for
did
ladder.
I say the same thing twice?
Yeah,
for actual ladder. Live competitions they changed this for, not online competitions, unfortunately.
The Bulbapedia definition of Dragon Cheer. Dragon Cheer increases the user's ally's critical hit ratio by one stage. If the user's allies are a dragon type, the critical hit ratio is increased by two stages instead. The effect of Dragon Cheer is supposed to be removed by switching, but a glitch is currently preventing this. That they have gone and said will be fixed in version 3.0.1. So essentially, if you go and switch your Pokemon out, they will remain with their critical hit ratio up.
That's crazy. Because the thing is, like, that might not sound like a big deal, but think about Annihilate.
Sure.
Annihilate, if you got six Rage Fist stacks, you could switch out, come back, still have those six Rage Fist stacks. And that makes Annihilate a lot more cracked than it usually is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, wow. Interesting. What's crazy is that they actually made this change because this isn't the only bug that this game has had, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had that whole Ndidi with Trick Room thing, which was allowed in live competitions. They never changed it. They could have said, okay, no Ndidis with Trick Room are allowed here, and that's just it. Or they also had that, remember that Don Dozo bug where if you still hit into a Protect with Order Up, you'd still get the boost?
Yeah,
they allowed that in live competitions. That's definitely not how that move was intended because they changed it later. So it's interesting that they're actually making this decision now. They're like, you know what? Dragon Cheer, got to put a brakes on this one.
Now, is this like a they know something we don't in that like they know that this is actually really, really good? And in testing, they're like, yo, we got to ban this or else like people are going to be mad. Good. Because here's my thought. There are ways that you can chain, you know, have fun with this. right? You have like a prankster dragon chair user, right? You use your dragon chair. You have another Pokemon on the side use U-turn. Then they go and get out of there. And then you bring them back in later and go and hit some big old Draco meteors. Why not? Because now they're all crits, baby. Crits all the way down.
Or what you can do is you can dragon cheer, you turn out, and then dragon cheer another dragon type, and you just got unlimited crits.
You've got crits for days. You've got crits for days. There are lots of Pokemon here. I wonder if any of these have Prankster.
Pretty much every dragon type that exists has dragon cheer. Sure. Is what I've noticed so far.
Doesn't look like any of them have Prankster, though. But I mean, some of them are Dragapult. Some of those Pokemon are Dragapult.
That's the fastest just really one fast. That you got.
Yeah. Now, I wonder if Dragapult, you'd want to be the one using Dragon Cheer, or if you want to be the one that's receiving Dragon Cheer.
You can do both. Dragapult, why not?
Yeah, I mean, you could do both. Just run both Dragapult. Two Dragapults right beside each other.
Dragapult and Dracloak. Problem solved.
Boom. I bet Dracloak with a built-in
Eviolite.
The built-in focus energy is pretty good, actually.
Probably not.
Probably not.
But yeah, that's why it's interesting here that they're actually deciding to make this change before Portland, right before Charlotte as well. But I can't say that I'm mad about it.
Good for them.
This patch. Oh, the patch is coming out later this month. So it's not that long that we're going to have this change in. They're going to fix it.
Right.
I'm assuming.
So until then, you won't be able to use it in live competitions. So when we go to Portland, when we go to Charlotte, like just not, you're not going to be seeing it. It's probably going to be talked about a lot, but it's not going to be seen. but as Kevin was saying earlier, it is available to be used on the ranked ladder. So do you think that people will be using this for the sake of using it?
Maybe for memes, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if I got a foo-foo video in the next couple of days with Dragon Cheer on it, but yeah, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, like, I hope he goes and shows off the prankster U-turn genius move that we just came up with.
Yes.
It's only natural. go for it, Sam. You can do it. we'll see how Dragon Cheer is used on the ladder. I personally don't think it's going to be used. I don't think the thing that's holding it back is the fact that you lose your enhanced crit chance when you swap out your Pokemon. I think having it on there is a fun little accident, but okay.
The thing that's holding it back is a Pokemon called Fluttermane. And sure. Having to run two dragon types on your team makes it a little awkward against Fluttermane.
Now, here's the thing, though, is you don't have to run a dragon type, right? Like running the dragon type makes it the plus. Yeah, you get plus two, but, you know, a plus one Fluttermane is pretty good, too. Plus one critical chance Fluttermane. Not bad.
Give it Razor Claw. You're at plus two. Problem solved.
Oh, that's dirty.
You know what I just remembered?
Yeah.
There's a whole other DLC coming, or like, I guess like an epilogue coming out in like a couple of days. Yeah,
that's true. We get the Petrarunt.
Mm-hmm. The little thing. I don't know if it's going to be competitively viable or make a difference, but we get it.
Sure. Yeah. All right. Well, that's that. There was another thing that we were talking about on the Preach that I want to bring back up. Do you remember what that one was? I wanted to ask questions about it. It was your thing.
Oh, I learned how Terapagos works finally because I played against it. Yeah, yes. So Terapagos, albeit very good, albeit very strong. I'm sure it'll be very strong when it does come out because it can turn off weathers and all that. Mm. I originally, in my reptile brain, thought that it worked similarly to Desolate Land or Delta Airstream, where like once it's up, on the field, no weather works at all. Like maybe even Cloud 9. I thought it worked like Cloud 9. No weather, no terrain can come back on the field if it's up. Apparently you could just switch out and come back and then it puts it back.
So I was curious about that because with it not functioning the same way as some of those other things, like if you go and bring, so here's the basic thing that happens here. When you have sun up. You have a toracle out and it's gone and dropped the sun. When you bring a Rillaboom out beside it and it drops the grassy terrain, if you go and bring in a Terrapagos and it does was a Terraform Zero, it nullifies the sun and the terrain.
It'll turn it off.
It turns it off. It disappears. Which is basically the counter to Coridon and Miraidon, who both drop sun and electric terrain when they drop on the field. Now, does sun expire while Terrapagos is on the field? Like, if Terrapagos is on the field for three turns, does sun, like, go away forever?
Yeah.
Yeah?
No, wait, no. If it's on the field still, you come back, it'll set up again. No,
right. But what I mean is, like, if you drop sun and that has five turns left, turn one goes by, Terrapagos isn't out yet. Turn two goes by, Terrapagos isn't out yet. Turn three, Terrapagos comes in and it stops the sun.
Yes.
Now, for the next three turns, does that counter still go down?
No, or it's an actual switch. Yeah.
Actual switch. So it's gone.
Yeah, so it's not like Cloud9 in that sense, because Cloud9 leaves it on the field but turns off effects. This legitimately turns it off, and you can turn it back on. Yeah.
Oh, so you can go and throw out a new Torkoal and drop Sun again. Yeah.
Or you can click Sunny Day. You can go for the Overheat Eject Pack, bring your Torkoal out, and then bring it back in.
Oh.
This made me happy because I was at the point where, like, it's going to suck once Terrapagos comes in. Because Terrapagos comes in at the exact same time, or presumably it's going to come in at the exact same time as Miraidon and Coridon, and I want to have a chance to use the dang box legends, you know?
Right.
I don't want to come into the game and then they're completely nullified by another Pokemon that exists. But this means that it's not that bad. I feel like you could still use Coridon, you could still use Miraidon, you could still use Terrapagos all in their own vein.
Right.
And it'll still be fine. You just have to Volt Switch out, set it back up, or you have to U-turn out, set it back up. It's not that big of a deal.
That's fair, because they had a couple of opportunities there to, like, completely double back on their whole gimmick, where they were just like, all right, well, we have this turtle who I know you've been waiting to use these lizard motorcycles, but we have this turtle. When we bring it out, it says, no, you're not allowed to enjoy Pokemon Scarlet and Pokemon Violet and the big dinosaurs you get. The Agias friends, not allowed. But it's nice that instead they're just like, okay, no, this is just a counter to that. And then you can go and bring them back in and do whatever. It's fine.
What's crazy is that thinking about it, like, I think Coridon wins the Legend War here because you could still collision course it and delete it off the field.
You can't with Miraidon?
Miraidon might still be able to electro drift it on top of electric terrain and do a lot of damage to it, but it's a normal type Terrapagos, so you could just hit it with a collision course and, like, maybe fighting tear yourself and delete it.
That's fair, but I think that if you ever bring Terrapagos on the field, it's because you're trying to make it a stellar type.
Yeah, but its defenses don't change.
Oh, right.
Yeah. You could just hit it with a collision course and it's gone.
Oh, that's too bad.
Maybe next year.
That's just another way that Scarlet's the bitter one. Okay.
GG.
Exactly. Kevin, you've been doing a lot on the YouTube channel recently. How's that been?
About as exciting as it can be. Okay. I actually was worried about, spoilers, I guess, for the next couple of videos. I do pretty darn well. I was worried that I wasn't going to be able to make this podcast on time because the ranked ladder took some time to get up and I wanted to make sure that I got ranked videos out as soon as possible. So I didn't want to record any more casual stuff. So I waited as long as I could. And then I was like, ooh, I don't know if I'm going to squeeze in two episodes here before the podcast. But I won so dang fast. We got it in.
Nice.
Two surprise Pokemon. I'll let you know. They're not common.
Surprise Pokemon. That's fun.
Yeah.
I thought it was so fun. Nico Gaming, friend of the channel, friend of PokeSports.
Friend of the thumbnails.
Friend of the thumbnails. He went and taught both of us pretty much how to make those thumbnails. So thank you so much. He went messaged us in a little group chat today. We have a little group chat going where every now and then we'll be like, hey, have either of you done the art for, like, I don't know, a superior that I could have? And then, like, we send them over like a file bundle of what we've done. So today he goes and asks for Incineroar. And we were like, what? Nah, like, we have not made an Incineroar. And for you, you were surprised because it's like, who would make a thumbnail with Incineroar? For me, I'm like, how have we not made Incineroar yet?
I was a little rude about it. I'm sorry, Nico. What did I say?
You made a joke. Like,
I don't even remember what I said.
I can tell you exactly what you said.
Okay. Go for it. Nico says, in my voice.
Oh, sure. Gladly. Nico says, you guys have Incineroar done by chance? Kevin says, actually, nah. And here's with your accent. You're putting in sin on a thumbnail? Brave, man. Huh. Well, then.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think there are two sides to that, where it's like Incineroar is a very popular Pokemon, but not for good reasons.
I don't know. For me, it's like, I don't know, putting Fluttermane on a thumbnail.
Yeah. Like, you'll notice that we barely ever do that. We barely ever
put it. It'll be on every team.
But yeah. We barely put Fluttermane. We barely put Iron Hands. We barely put Arcanine or any of those, like, top level Pokemon. Just because we see them so often. Like, we're bored of making art of them. Why would I go and make a fan fiction about the team with the Fluttermane that I use all the time?
I feel like if it was like first day, first release of Incin, fine.
Right.
We're a month in though. So I was I haven't done it yet, I'm not doing it now.
Watch, like, 3 days from now, we're going to be putting some of the other, like, top high meta Pokemon on our thumbnails.
If I'm saying this right here on the podcast right now.
Yeah.
If I ever, and if you ever see Incin on a thumbnail, that is the coolest Incin set you've ever seen.
It's
like a weakness policy, nonsense, full attack damage, max speed Incin with a choice. It's going to be wild.
And
Dragon Cheer.
And
Dragon Cheer, Dragon Terra, Incin.
Oh, that's so smart. Wait, what? You can just Dragon Terra.
Yeah.
For Dragon Cheer. That's so smart. I should have said that 15 minutes ago. I don't know why I've never thought of that. It's wild. Nice. All right. Well, I mean, maybe Nico did that too. Maybe that's why. Maybe he made the most baller Incineroar set. You go find out. Go and watch his videos. In the meantime, we have Pikalytic stats. We haven't done this one for a while.
A long time.
Yeah. Regulation set F has been out, quote, quote, for a while, but it's only been out, no quotes, for about like 2 days. So people on Pokemon Showdown, they've been playing this set for a long time. Kevin's been playing it for a long time on casual whenever he doesn't run into a Mewtwo or a Deoxys. I've said Deoxys twice, not in this game, but it's okay.
Not even in the game.
Or is it?
No.
I could have sworn I saw a TikTok with like a Deoxys defense, like doing a weird
running?
Walk. Yeah.
Is it in the game?
Maybe someone's hacked it in. Maybe it actually exists. Anyway. So Pikalytics went and took this information that is publicly accessible from Pokemon Showdown and on Pikalytics.com went and put that on his site. If you haven't been to Pikalytics.com, by the way, it is like a wonderful, wonderful, resource for you to go and see what Pokemon are being used, what items they're being used with, what, on average, what moves they're using more, what teammates they have. Like, it's a great place for you to go and check that kind of stuff out. So, we have regulation set F here. We have it for a couple of different. Yeah, we do. We have for a couple of different ratings. I like to usually go from like the 1760 plus because that's how you know that like the best of the best players, the people who have proven themselves on Pokemon Showdown, you can see how they're performing. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know if you've done this before, but like if you notice the difference between 0+, so just anybody who's been playing this, and 1760+ are like wildly different in
night and day.
Some really interesting ways. Like 0+ has Incineroar at number one and Fluttermane at number two. That's completely flipped in 1760+. And there's a whole bunch that's actually a lot more relevant than that. But 1760+, we've got Fluttermane still at the top at 53%. Who would have thought?
It's a lot less than before, though.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. We're
it
only
is less than before.
50 something percent instead of like 80, which it did hit at one point.
Yeah.
Fluttermane sets have largely remained the same. You're still going choice specs with Shadow Ball, Moonblast, Dazzling Gleam, maybe Icy Wind, maybe Thunderbolt, maybe Power Gem, kind of, you know, playing with it like that. Every other set includes Protect. So that's why that's number four on the list, with like either a Booster Energy or a Focus Sash or something like that.
Recently, Choice Specs has been picking up a little bit more because of new Sunny Day users like Whimsicott and also like Tornadus kind of entering the meta and being scary. There's more reason to run Sun now because you got a lot of cool new Protosynthesis mons like Walking Wake, like Raging Bolt, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah. Now that Fluttermane is in the Sun, you don't need to run Booster Energy. You just run the Choice Specs and hurt.
Now, an interesting thing you just brought up with Whimsicott. You know, I feel like a lot of people would have assumed that Whimsicott would immediately go and hit the top of the ladder. For anybody who's played like Sword and Shield, Whimsicott dominated. Whimsicott was one of the most used Pokemon in that set. But now that Tornadus has Bleakwind Storm, honestly, I think Tornadus has just become way more relevant than Whimsicott has.
I think Tornadus is usable in both veins, right?
Yeah.
Whimsicott can only set Sun. Tornadus can set Sun, Snow, Hail, Sand, etc.
Right, true.
So it does have more options. You can run Tornadus and run Whimsicott and in like two different archetypes, two different weather, two different modes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I guess it, and also the Whimsicott plus Tornadus 1v1, Tornadus wins it, right? Because when's Whimsicott going to do your grass type?
That's true. See, and the reason I say that is Whimsicott does sit at number 14 on this list. Tornadus is number 5, 27.63% usage, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go into Incineroar, number 2, the number 2 used Pokemon. Who would have thought? 48.86%. Usage, nearly every single one running Fake Out. Every single one raring using Flare Blitz. Mm-hmm. Nearly every single one using Parting Shot. And nearly every single one using Knock Off.
Yeah, it gets Knock Off now, guys. Fun.
Yeah. So that one has like by far taken the number one spot, but like you still got your Snarls, your U-turns, Helping Hands. Those are still your options. And its number one teammate, who would have thought? Again, it's Fluttermane. Incineroar and Fluttermane, best friends. Oh, no.
It's so funny. We'll talk about like the top four soon. But the top four is literally a Grasswater Fire Core with Fluttermane.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Okay, well, let's talk about the next two in a bundle. We've got Rillaboom and Urshifu Rapid Strike.
Yeah. So
Rillaboom for your Fake Out use, your Grassy Glides, your Wood Hammers. And then your variable moves, so either like your U-turn, your high horsepower, something like that. And then your Urshifu, same thing. You like have that staple move of Surging Strikes. You have that staple move of Close Combat. Your Aqua Jet, because of the priority, it's huge. And then either your U-turns, Detects, Protects, Ice Spinners. Interestingly, most of Urshifus have been running Choice Scarf. And that's kind of like sticking around from like Regulation E. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting to see it there.
They got to outspeed the Flutters. They need it. The other cool thing is like so far, like this, we're just building a good stuff team so far. We're going 1-4, and I'm pretty sure the top six is essentially the good stuff team. The last spot being changed out every couple times.
If you run a Fluttermane, Incineroar, Rillaboom, Urshifu, Rapid Strike, and Tornadus team, like that last thing can just kind of be for flavor.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what it is.
Like you'll bring it. You will bring it if you go and put that on your team. But it's like I feel like it's just this rotating circle of like what is struggling. Mm-hmm. Right now, like people bring in the Raging Bolts, and then people are like, oh, they're bringing in Raging Bolts, so now my sixth Pokemon needs to be Landorus. And people are like, oh, my Landorus is having trouble, I guess we're bringing in those Ogerpon Wellspring. And like, that is, by the way, number 6, 7, and 8 is Landorus, Raging Bolt, and Ogerpon Wellspring.
I'm surprised like a new Pokemon made it this high up. Raging Bolt's actually holding on.
Yeah, it's true.
Look at this. A quarter of every team on the ladder you see right now, at 1760 plus, will have a Raging Bolt on it.
Right.
So if that's a Pokemon you haven't prepared for before you go into a tournament, before you're hitting the ladder, that's something you got to look at, because Raging Bolt is terrifying and it hurts. And it's not easy to one-shot either.
It's true. If you haven't,
there are sets that the Fluttermane hits, which is wild.
If you haven't used a Raging Bolt yet, usually you're running a Booster Energy, Assault Vest, or Lefters. Leftovers.
That's what we're calling it from now on.
It's Lefters. I like it. I'm down. Your set is most likely going to be Thunderclap, Protect, Thunderbolt, and then either Draco Meteor, Dragon Pulse, Calm Mind, Volt Switch, something like that. Your teammates, again, lo and behold, Incineroar, Fluttermane, Rillaboom, Urshifu, Rapid Strike. Those are the most popular teammates. Now, coming in really close with Wellspring Ogerpon is actually Chempao. Chempao, like just barely making it into that number. What number is that? Number 9 position.
Yeah, the 9th spot. And the thing is, Chempao recently won the largest online tournament in the history of Pokemon, that Tommy Tuesday. The other cool thing about Chempao is that we're seeing for the first time since regulation, what's before E? D?
D.
Ice Spinner is used more than Icicle Crash again.
Right.
And that could be the resurgence of Indeedee. That could be the resurgence of Psyspam with Expanding Force being available to a lot more Pokemon. Rillaboom. That could also be, Rillaboom too.
Yep.
Stellar Terra is also used again. It won the most recent tournament or the biggest tournament with Stellar Terra. So now you can run Ice Spinner on top of Stellar Terra.
I thought that was such a good idea. Again, like if you listened to the podcast last week, we talked about this, but, Stellar Chempao just makes so much sense. Your Sucker Punch, your Sacred Sword, your Ice Spinner, like getting the boost on all of those is just so good.
Yeah, it's weird because like Stellar's good on Pokemon whose defenses either suck or are very good.
Yeah.
It's like it's bad on the in-between is what it seems, because it's like your defenses suck so bad on Chempao and your typing sucks so bad on Chempao, you'll never not use a Focus Sash on it. We have 89.47% Focus Sash on this Pokemon.
Yeah.
So, like, what's the point of becoming a defensive Terra, right? Just do more damage on 4 of your moves.
Right. You can make it very easy on yourself to deal with things like Indeedee. If you just on the first turn go for like an Ice Spinner to go and get rid of the psychic terrain, and then on the second turn going for a Sucker Punch, both of those in Stellar Terra get your extra stab boost, and you get to use a priority move on the second turn because you've gotten rid of the psychic terrain from the first turn. Yep. It makes a lot of sense. I do want to talk about the Pokemon that comes right after this at number 10. That's Archaludon.
Yeah.
People another new Pokemon popping up. I like that.
It's good, man.
Flash Cannon, Electro Shot.
I was going to say it's good specifically because rain is the most popular weather right now.
Yes,
with the Tornadus and the Urshifu Rapid Strike. So you're able to run Electro Shot on it.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of them are. It's the number 2 move on Archaludon right now. You've got Flash Cannon, Electro Shot, Draco Meteor, and Body Press. This is one of those Pokemon where that set is not like up for debate. If you're bringing in an Archaludon, you are slapping an Assault Vest on it. You are using Stamina on it. You're bringing Flash Cannon, Electro Shot, Draco Meteor, and Body Press. Sometimes you'll bring a Protect or a Dragon Pulse or a Snarl or an Aura Sphere if you are not running Assault Vest, but most of the time you are. So, I mean, it's a really good set, and that's the one you use.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And if you're not in rain, you probably don't bring Electro Shot and you just run Snarl instead.
If you're not in rain, you probably don't bring Archaludon.
Yeah, that too.
If you see another weather setter in team select and you are worried that they're going to try and outweather you with like sun, half the time, I would imagine that you're not going to want to bring an Archaludon. You're instead going to want to bring that Tornadus that you have to set the rain dance. And you're instead just going to try and use that to combat the sun a little bit. But you're not going to have your Archaludon that's there to leverage that.
Interesting to see people are still using Stalwart. There's still 14% of people using Stalwart.
Well, this is also information from like the first month of the half of the month, really, of the DLC.
Mm-hmm.
When did the DLC come out?
Just not stamina.
Right. Because when did the DLC come out? When did we get regulation?
14th of December.
So like we have information from like the 15th of December until the end. So like a lot of people were seeing Archaludon for the first time and they're like, oh, let's try out Stalwart. And then there are people who are like really stubborn on Stalwart and they're like, oh, it's good. I'm telling you, it's good. I think we're going to see less people opting to use Stalwart as time goes on.
The thing with Archaludon, it's like, yeah, you can run a beat up mon next to it, but you don't have to run a beat up mon next to it.
Right.
It's like,
yeah, that's true.
With Annihilate, it's almost like you have to a lot of the times. So people will just not hit it. But if you not hit Archaludon, it's going to sit there and Electro Shot over and over until eventually it's +5 in special attack and it's going to hurt. You're going to have to hit it.
I know this is coming really late from me, but can we just have a moment to think about the fact that they gave Primeape an evolution?
And they killed it.
And it was dead. It was so angry it died.
What is that saying about the human race? Because isn't Primeape just us?
Oh no. Primeape is the us Pokemon. Oh man, it just it's so nice. I think I remember laughing about it like at the beginning of Scarlet and Violet, but then eventually I got over it. But now I'm like, I'm fully in there again. Oh, they killed a Primeape and they evolved it.
You want to know what I want? And this is a hot take from me.
What do you want?
Don't give me new Pokemon in Gen 10.
Whoa.
Listen to what I'm saying. Don't give me new Pokemon Gen 10. Give me every one stage Pokemon that looks like it can use a new evolution. Put it in the game, give it a new evolution.
Whoa.
That's it. All right. That's all I want.
I'm kind of into it. So are we talking
I want Smeargle to evolve. Okay. I want Murkrow to evolve again.
Right.
Honchkrow needs another one.
Sandslash, every two stage, not done
give
yet.
It a third. Not done yet.
Generation 10. Generation 10, not done yet. That's what it's going to be. That's the tagline. Okay. That's so good. I like that. And then last one here that I'm going to talk about before we move on. Amoongus. Amoongus is number 11 right now. Amoongus was right up at the top during Regulation E. And I always say about the Amoongus factor is that in a meta where things are kind of weird, you'll see a lot more Amoonguses. Now, things are a little less weird because we have a lot of other Pokemon, a lot of a more rounded metagame, a lot of a more consistent top five. So Amoongus is gonzo. Bye-bye.
I'm actually surprised to see Amoongus this high up. Considering the fact we have like a lot of grass type Pokemon and a lot of Psy spammers running around.
Yeah.
I feel like Amoongus would be a little sad right now.
Oh, sad little mushroom.
How are the other dinosaurs doing?
Are we talking about like Walking Wake?
Oh, yeah. Okay, Walking Wake's actually hanging on with the Iron Hands here at 9% usage.
Yeah. Monthly rank 16.
Bad. Where's our Gouging terrible. Friend doing?
Gouging Fire down. Is far down at number 33.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I think it's better than that, though.
You think it's better than top 33?
I think Insin is just better. That's the problem. Like, that Pokemon in general is better, but you have other fire types you want to use on your team instead.
That's the problem. They had to make a fire Pokemon so obscenely good in order to keep up with Incineroar. And they kind of did that with Chiyu. When they gave it Beads of Ruin, like that's a pretty broken I want to say ability. Passive, but ability. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a pretty broken ability when you consider that Fluttermane is like the most used Pokemon out there. That it's so that Fluttermane is so broken that it doesn't even need Chiyu half the time. But because you bring in Fluttermane, you might as well bring in Chiyu as well, just to make your Fluttermane even better.
You know what's funny? The 33rd to 36th spot is pretty much just the fire type club. Because that's just where the Pokemon are that are knocked down there by Incineroar. Just like three fire-type Pokemon all next to each other. You got Gouging Fire, Heatran, and Ogerpon Hearthflame all just kind of chilling in the same spot.
That one was interesting, seeing Ogerpon Hearthflame fall so far.
Yeah.
Like, I guess one could have expected Hearthflame to fall so far when Incineroar joined the meta. And same kind of thing with Ogerpon, like Teal Mask, right? Is if you have your Rillaboom already, like that's your grass. You don't need the Ogerpon on there with you.
Yeah, the only one typing that we kind of have up in the air is water. So mm-hmm. It's just like, yeah, you can make Urshifu work, but you could also have Urshifu and Ogerpon on the same team. We could have right. Urshifu or Ogerpon on the same team.
Which like thematically, they were built to be the same kind of thing. That was a DLC number one Pokemon.
Yeah. Oh, that's fair. Yeah.
You have your Urshifu Rapid, and then you have your counter to that, Ogerpon Wellspring.
There's nothing an Urshifu can do to a Wellspring, yeah.
Yeah. You got Spiky Shield, you got a Horn Leech. That thing doesn't like that. So, yeah.
And then you got Water Absorb.
Then you got Water Absorb, exactly.
And follow me. Yeah, it's annoying.
Yeah. So that was really interesting. I did find it kind of funny that Dondozo and Tatsugiri are still fighting for dear life.
I found it kind of funny. Found it kind of sad. I find it even funnier that they don't have the exact same percentage of use, but they are right next to each other.
It's always the Dondozo higher because some people run Dondozo sans Tatsugiri. Nobody ever runs solo Geary.
Oh, Porygon 2, I feel like, is high up here.
Yeah.
For the amount that I've seen, I haven't seen that many.
That's a decent Trick Room setter.
Oh, yeah. Porygon 2, fun fact, mm-hmm. can live a Drain Punch.
From an Iron Hands?
Yes.
Whoa.
Did you know Psychic Noise stops Drain Punch from Drain Punching, from existing?
Oh, I guess so.
It breaks. Yeah. So I've gotten Psychic Noise on my Iron Hands by a Ferrigiraf earlier this week. And I was just like, oh, yeah. That is a healing move, huh?
That's
so I guess
it
would
cool.
also stop Matcha Gacha and would also stop Sapsipper. Interesting.
And yeah, it would also stop Horn Leech.
Yeah.
Mm.
Maybe Psychic Noise needs to be looked at.
I think it's on Ferrigiraf, the way that you kind of teed this up with it being on Ferrigiraf, I was like, yeah, that probably sense. Is the one that it would be on, huh?
Mm-hmm. The only problem is it kind of sucks. It's only two turns.
Oh.
Yeah, so you'll Psychic Noise, break it that one turn, and then the turn after. And then you got a Psychic Noise again to set it back up.
No, I'm comparing that to something like, I don't know, Quick Guard. Do you think Quick Guard would be used more if it stopped priority moves for two turns?
Oh, absolutely. I'd use it right now.
That's interesting. They just keep setting it up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have a built-in Quick Guard with Ferrigiraf.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, like why bother even do that? You have the whole giraffe there. Okay.
Ferrigiraf, for those wondering, is currently 25th, 7% usage.
That's better than Gouging Fire.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like using Psychic Noise instead of even Psychic just makes more sense.
Yeah, that's what I feel like a lot of people are picking up on. And I think it's not showing here on Pekalytics yet. Psychic is still 57% 0.001 usage.
Yeah.
And then Psychic Noise is still hanging on at 17%. It's on the list.
But again, I think that's just low sample size. People haven't had enough time to go and discover that. Discover a Dover. I'm trying to Ferrigiraf it, but I can't.
Yeah, that's hard to do. Wow. Yeah. that was an endeavor you just had.
Discover Rivas. Get
duh.
Duh. Yeah. I tried to type it backwards, but I typed it wrong too. Discover Revoxid. There we go.
You did it.
I don't know we why my brain needed to do that in order to move on. And now we can move on. Isn't that great?
So for a giraffe needs an evolution.
You know what? Yeah, it isn't not done yet.
Just have the dark side just take over entirely.
Right. So like
psychic dark
Magmortar, you're good. You're done. Because you know what? You got that out of the way a long time ago. You made King a Magmar. Gambit
finished.
You made a Magmar. Then you made a baby Magmar. Then you made a big boy Magmar. You're good. Now, maybe some Pokemon get Gyarados, baby forms.
Evolution.
Heracross, not done yet. Definitely not done yet. You're so far from done yet. Yeah. Pinsir, you get a baby form, and then you just get your Mega Evolution as your evolution now.
As the evolution, yeah.
Yeah. Why don't they just make all these Mega Evolutions just evolutions in Gen 10? They can. They've already decided them.
Wow. They're made. They're done.
Everyone would be so happy that's just done now.
Kangaskhan?
Oh, yeah.
Becomes Mega Kangaskhan. And then you just make baby Kangaskhan.
Yeah. Like a Tatsugiri Dondozo kind of thing. You could have told that they could have totally done Dondozo Tatsugiri like a long time ago with Kangaskhan.
Yeah.
Oh, and then yeah. Just, you know, hop in.
Dunsparce? Dunsparce. Not did done yet.
Yeah, not did done yet. All right. We could legit go on all night with this. Give Urshifu another evolution. Wait. Uh-oh.
No, we could stop there.
We've gone too far. We're done.
No. Urshifu, keep that locked in the DLC in two generations ago.
In fact, just give us Kubfu and don't give us Urshifu. And
just give us
that'll be it. Just give us Kubfu.
Fun fact, doesn't Kubfu get like no guard or something actually good?
I don't know. Why would I know anything about Kubfu? It gets inner focus.
Oh, okay. No, so not that good.
No, it's not so great.
There's a blueberry prologue that we haven't talked about yet.
There's a whole blueberry prologue. Tell me about that. I'll be
real, probably not participating in this one.
When is it?
Because we don't get anything for it. So participation points, you only get 10,000 league points. But honestly, all I care about right now are blood pressure points. But this will... Signups are available now. Mm-hmm. And it'll happen from 0 UTC January 12th to the 14th. It's a double battles using only Pokemon that are in the Blueberry Pokedex.
Oh, that's difficult to list.
That is Incineroar.
Yeah.
Porygon 2.
That's mostly starters.
Walking Wake, Gouging Fire, a lot of starters, yeah. You're probably going to have Rillaboom, Primarina, and Incin. There's your Grass, Water, Fire core right there.
Right.
And then you'll probably stick in a Raging Bolt somewhere there. Because why wouldn't you? Archaladon can join the party. And then Whimsicott to beat up the Archaladon. You're welcome. I made your team for you. Have fun.
And sometimes you can bring in Terapagos.
Oh, is that allowed?
Yeah, it says it is.
I don't know. Oh, it's allowed?
Yeah.
Hold on. Maybe I will play it.
I mean, yeah, maybe let's put up a video or two. About
Boy, banned like, Pokemon. Hold on. There's a list.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not on it, though.
It's not on it. Terapagos is on the allowed Pokemon list.
Terapagos is allowed?
Yeah.
Maybe I should play this.
You got a lot of the Hisuians not allowed? Typhlosion, Samurott, and Decidueye aren't.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to be meta breaking.
No, I think you'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah, so maybe.
Wait, hold on. I actually might sign up. I went from not signing up to this and not playing it at all to maybe I have to squeeze this in to have a Terapagos video on the channel.
Yeah, right?
I used Terapagos in an online competition. Or
Wow. Anyway, registration's open now. You can go and do that. Hey, Kevin, it's episode 198. What Pokemon's that?
Well, it's Murkrow because I remembered from last time.
Really? You remembered?
Yeah.
Wait.
Murkrow's one of my favorite Pokemon. That's the only reason I remembered.
Oh, wow. You would. You it's would right. remember specifically the Murkrow one.
Yeah, ask me again in five episodes. I won't know.
Do you think five is where you'll stop knowing? Because I think next week
I'll stop knowing
not
tomorrow.
Remember.
Yeah. Yeah, because Honchkrow isn't here yet. So
no. Exactly. What's beside 10? Murkrow? I don't know.
I honestly don't know.
Yeah, me neither. You. The entire audience will know by next week and they'll just laugh at us not knowing. It's Yanma. last week I asked, what other Pokemon can you see Stellar being good on and why?
Ooh,
because I was so curious after that Chen Pao one where I was like, there must be other Pokemon where Stellar type is useful. I just don't know it yet. But I think you're right in what you were saying, where it's like Pokemon with either terrible defense or like way too good defense.
Yeah, that you don't need to change.
Let's see if the answers feel the
same. Focus Sashes and Assault Vests. Those are the ones that they're good on.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Scream Tail Metronome was the first answer. I love this. A Croc of Crochet. Says Scream Tail Metronome.
Because every single move will get the boost.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should have
a Scream Tail Metronome
battle. Yeah.
That's how we get Scream Tail on the thumbnails.
Yeah. We got it there. The Scream Tail Terra Stellar Metronome battle. What'll happen?
I kind of like it. Okay, sure. Oh, let's do it.
Let's make the max H and max defense, max special defense, see how long it goes. See the first happens. One to get a fissure connect is the winner.
Super Sam says anything that runs an assault vest would benefit getting four stab moves. I don't think it's the best, but another decent use for Stellar. Nice, Super Sam. You got it. I'm publishing that one. Good for you. Let's see. Matthew K.
I just wrote that Scream Tail Metronome battle down.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I think Stellar Archaludon would be great. Wearing Assault Vest for bulk, using Flash Cannon, Electro Shot, Body Press, and Draco Meteor activates the boost on all of its moves. There you go.
Yeah, I do think that Stellar isn't bad on Archaludon. I think it's actually pretty decent. I think the Archaludon team that I put out had Stellar originally. Maybe I'd go back and change it to Fairy Terra just so I can deal with Urshifu's a little bit better, but...
Yeah,
it works fine with Stellar.
It is a little scary that it doesn't deal with anything defensively. Like that's the whole thing about Terra. So like if you're not, maybe I'll say it like this: if you have a Pokemon that you were otherwise just going to make Terra one specific type to be offensive, if you were trying to get like that times two stab on anything, might as well make it Stellar.
Yeah. But if you're trying to make it defensive, then that's where you got to take a step back, be like, okay, I got to worry. Because the problem with Archaludon and the reason Archaludon struggles a little bit is against Sacred Sword.
Right.
So you by being a Fairy Terra, you're able to have an answer to Sacred Sword so that the Chen Paos and the Glades don't hurt you too bad.
Mm-hmm. Hugh says it's called the Isle of Armor because Urshifu is referred to as the ultimate armor to its partner because it protects them. Yes, a couple of our friends went and reached out to us after the podcast dropped and was like, hey, there's a reason for that. And yeah, of course. But we run through all of these games so quick that we don't pick up on the story.
I'm going to propose a name change to the first DLC of the last game.
The Isle of Bear.
How did you know?
Was I right?
Yes, I was in the Isle of Bear. If we're going to make this about Urshifu, let's make it super easy and obvious for a bunch of middle-aged men talking about it on a podcast 3 years later.
Wow, I am absolutely titling this podcast The Isle of Bear.
You don't want to title it Generation 10? We're not done yet.
Generation 10, not done yet. Gen 10.
We have so many titles for this podcast.
I can't. You know, if I put Gen 10, not done yet, you know what everyone's going to think immediately? Did they announce Gen 10? That's good. What they'll do.
Then they'll get this far in the video and be like, oh, I hate these guys.
Oh, no. And then they unsubscribe because they feel slighted. CJ says, I think any Pokemon in the current meta would be a good choice. That's interesting. I think a lot of people would disagree with that, but I do think it's an interesting choice just to be like, yep, Stellar on everything.
I've seen Stellar flutter more times than I expected to.
That's fair.
I can't quite say why. It could just be because it's so good. Might as well run Stellar on it. But at the same time, it's so good you could just run Fairy on it. You know, it's a little.
I feel like it's a bold choice to put Stellar on Fluttermane, considering how many Incineroars there are and how much knockoff can just destroy a Fluttermane that has a neutral weakness to dark.
I think Flare Blitz is actually.
Right. Yeah, that's true, too.
Even that hurts a lot, too. Incins, even by only investing 4 EVs in attack, can one-shot some Fluttermane sets, which is kind of wild.
That's wild.
I've seen it. I've experienced it. I'm just like, okay, that's kind of dumb. Next.
Mm. Mr. Kurtastic.
Hey.
Has provided a ton of great teams over the months. Thank you for that, Mr. Kurtastic, with a lovely picture of his family there. Oh, I like that. I've actually seen success with Stellar Electivire. 4 different coverage moves, all boosted with stab plus AV, really helps get it some mileage. The rental was posted in the Discord. Kevin did go and use that. That was on a recent video, so you can go and check that out.
Yeah, that Assault Vest is coming back again. It's Assault Vest and Focus Sash, I feel like, are the magical 2 items. Maybe even Banded, if you're choiced in some fashion, because that means you have 4 move slots to use from. So maybe that could be. You know, another option.
Mm-hmm. I'll do 2 more here. Dorothian says, I think that any Pokemon that outputs massive amounts of damage and utilizes a wide variety of move types should make massive use of it. I, for one, am having fun with Stellar Life Orb Sheer Force Landorus. That's an interesting one.
That's a lot of boosts on top of each other.
I mean, it is just the Landorus Incarnate that we're all used to. They all run Life Orb anyway, because Sheer Force Life Orb is a thing. But putting Stellar on that is actually quite an interesting idea.
Not a lot of ice types in the meta right now, as you can see, too. We looked over a lot of top 25. I don't think I mentioned an ice type that whole time that we were looking. Oh, Chen Pao, I guess. Yeah, that'd be the only one.
You've got Chen Pao, you've got Fluttermane, I guess, with Icy Wind. But if you can get like a good choice Tailwind up beside your Landorus, you can do quite a lot of good work with that. Stellar Life Orb Sheer Force Sludge Bomb on a Fluttermane, that might just take it out. Yeah,
or you can Poison Terra.
Or you can just Poison Terra. Umbreon 1080 says Malamar skill swapping contrary onto Hydrapple. Draco Meteor and Leaf Storm boosts and applying Super Sweet Syrup twice plus Stellar Terra. Busted. Okay.
Mind Melt. Yep. That's a food team, I think. I haven't played it though.
I like the idea of anything Malamar skill swapping. I like Hydrapple and the idea of Draco Meteor and Leaf Storm boosting your special attack instead of dropping it. I think that
Terra Blast on it too and boost that as well.
Yeah. Stellar Terra Blast. That's pretty good. Okay. Yeah, you know what? Contrary plus Stellar Terra Blast. Actually, I never really considered. Ever since
that could be a pretty decent. That could be a pretty decent strat for this blueberry. Prologue.
You can use that in the blueberry prologue.
I can use that. And then have Terrapagos there. Yeah, Malamar and Hydrapple.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. Okay, I'm going to do that.
You made it.
Okay, cool. Thank you. And with that, I guess that's a podcast for us, huh?
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Kevin can finally get off his feet.
We talked a lot about the important things coming up. We talked a lot about Generation 10.
Yeah.
Talked about bears.
Yeah.
Talked about turtles. It's a great time.
The Isle of Bears. Absolutely.
The Isle of Bears.
All right. Again, there are all of these amazing places that you can go and catch PokeSports. You can go and catch us on Patreon, patreon.com/PokeSports. You can go and catch us on YouTube, youtube.com/PokeSports, where we're putting out lots and lots of different stuff for the year of what? Okay. Hold on. I was about to say the year of Luigi, but is so far from the year of Luigi. If you could give this year a Pokemon name, what Pokemon would 2024 be? Don't name it something like new of the existing Pokemon decks. What would 2024 be?
the year of Spinda.
It's the year of Spinda because we're all a little confused.
I'm going to pick up my Joy-Cons now.
We'll see you next time.